It is once again just a great honor and a privilege to be here. We
no other option. And we see in verse 7 that this woman comes to the well. And she comes to the well not to meet the Savior, not to meet Christ, not to meet anybody. She came because she needed water. She had a fleshly need in her life. She needed a drink. When we get thirsty, we go to the water fountain. We go to the fridge and grab a bottle of water. We need the water to live, to sustain our life. And starting in verse 10, and we'll go through this a little bit, but he begins to really reveal who he is to this woman. He begins to show her who he is and who she is talking to. He talks about living water. You know, that she needs the living water, not just this earthly water to sustain her. She needs the living water. She needs a Savior. She needs Christ. And we see in this conversation that she didn't know who Jesus was. You know, she was looking at this man. She was talking to this man. But she had no idea this was the very Son of God. She had no idea. And she couldn't understand. She didn't understand what was going on. She was confused. And then we see that as Christ begins to reveal himself to her, Christ begins to open her eyes and showing her these things, that her eyes were open and she began to know who this man was. She became aware of her sin. She became aware of her need for a Savior. When we're lost, we don't know our need for a Savior. We don't know that we're sinners. We don't know we know what right from wrong a little bit because of what we've been taught. We don't know that we need a Savior. We don't know that we need Him. We don't know that we need Christ. We don't know who He is. And we go through this passage, and we're going to look at it a little bit here and there, just looking at Christ revealing Himself. He reveals Himself as the true Savior. You know, He reveals Himself as the one who came to save that which was lost. But if you notice, He doesn't come out right away. He doesn't just hit her on the head and say, look, I am the Savior, I am Christ, you need me to live. He begins a process. He slowly reveals these things to him. And I think about in my life, even after we're saved, we don't know all about the Savior. You go back to the day that you were saved, you don't know everything about Christ. We'll never know everything about Christ, but we only know a small glimpse. We know that He saved us. He died for our sins and He suffered so many things that we may have life more abundant, that we may have eternal life. We know that. But as we get closer to Him, as we begin to read the Scriptures and talk with Him on a daily basis, He begins to slowly reveal more and more about who He is, about His Father, about the Word of God. He reveals things to us slowly. He reveals Himself as more than just the Savior. And I don't mean to diminish that. He is the Savior. That is the most amazing thing. But He's more than just our Savior. And I don't know the right phrase. I don't mean to say just in that way. But He's more than just the Savior. He's so much more to us. He's our friend. He's our confidant. He's the one that comforts us, as we sang about. He begins to reveal His characteristics. And that's why I really love the Scriptures. Because not only does it say that He needed to. And you think about that, the whole concept of things, that as this woman comes to know Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah, that's why Christ needed to go to where this woman. He needed to go that route so He could meet this woman, so that she can come to the knowledge that she needed a Savior. We think about that in our lives. I was saved after a service at church. I was saved at home, but it was after a message brought by my pastor. And I can only think back. And thinking selfishly, I know my pastor at the time did so many more things than just that. But in my mind, I have the feeling that Christ sent Pastor Lamb to 12 Ryan Baptist Church because in May of 1996, Kevin Humphreys needed a Savior. In my mind, that's how it worked. I know there was others that were saved in his ministry. But in my mind, Christ had that specific appointment for Brother Lamb to preach that specific message for me and no one else. You know, if you're here today and you're saved, there was that specific time when somebody shared with you the gospel. Or maybe you were reading the Word of God looking for answers. And Christ revealed yourself to him. He made a specific attempt. Not attempt, because you know, again, I don't know how to phrase these things, but he came for a specific appointment. He knew that you needed a Savior, so he came at that moment to reveal himself to you. For that specific time, he made that just personal. He came to you to show you your need for a Savior. And I pray that if you're lost, He makes that appointment for you here today. But we see that He needed to go through Samaria. He needed to go there to meet this woman because she needed a Savior. And I love how Christ goes to where we are, because we cannot go to Christ. We cannot go to God. We cannot go to Him. So Christ has to come down to our level to show us who He is. But in verse number 6, we see that Christ begins to reveal Himself as 100% man. Again, I don't grasp, I don't know how this is possible. I know that it is possible because God said it was, and God said it is, so that's enough. But in verse number 6 says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour." We see that Christ was wearied from His journey. When we talk, when we walk, when we work, when we run, we do something active, we get tired. We begin to get weary as our flesh. It begins to break down. We need to rest. So Christ was journeying this long way, and He became tired. He became so tired, He needed to take a seat. He needed to sit on this well. And I know this whole thing is a teaching moment, because He needed to teach this woman a lesson. But I believe it all to be true, that He was tired. He was thirsty in those things, but He was tired. It took a toll on His body, just like it would any of us. His body needed to rest, therefore He sat at the edge of this well. Now, if anybody takes a long walk or a long hike, at one point you need to take a seat. You need to rest. You find whatever you can sit on and you just rest for a moment until you're ready to go again. So Christ was sitting here because He was a man. You know, God doesn't need to rest, and I'm thankful for that. God doesn't need to take a break. When Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal and kind of mocking them a little bit, he says, maybe your God is resting. Maybe Baal is tired or weary. But our God never gets tired. Our God never wearies. Our God never needs to take a seat. He's always on call. He's always available. He's always working. But Christ in the flesh, He needed to take a rest. And then in verse 7, He says, "There cometh a woman out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And verse 8 says, "For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." We see His journey made Him thirsty. You're out and about, you're going throughout your day, you need water. You need something to drink. Our bodies crave those things. You know, we can't survive very long without water. And I hope I'm saying this right, I hope I remember this right, but I think we can go longer without food than we can go without water. Hopefully I don't have that mixed up, but we need water to live. When scientists and they're trying to discover other life on planets and all those things, they look for water. They think, well, maybe there's a droplet of water. Maybe there's signs of life because there's water. But no matter what the life is, they need water. The animal kingdom, they need water to survive. As humans, we need water to survive. That's necessary for our survival. And He was thirsty. He needed this drink. And I believe He actually needed it. In the flesh, He needed this drink. He needed to nourish Himself as we do. The Scriptures make mention that His disciples were gone. And I really like how detailed the Bible is. And His disciples were gone, because if His disciples were there, they would have been the ones getting Him water. But remember, He needed to go through Samaria, not for His disciples, but for this woman. If His disciples were there, this woman wouldn't have drawn Him the water. His disciples would have got it. His disciples would have ministered, because as we see later, that His disciples didn't understand or even like the fact that Christ was talking to this woman. She was a Samaritan. She was beneath them. So if His disciples were there, I can only imagine them pushing this woman out of the way to get water for their Savior. So His disciples were gone. He needed a drink. And only a drink that this woman was there to draw, because Christ had nothing to draw it with. He couldn't reach the bottom of the well in the physical thinking. We think about Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary. When He's hanging there, what does He say? He says, "I thirst." He says, "I thirst." And of course, they mocked Him and they brought Him vinegar to drink. But He said, "I thirst." He needed something to drink. He wanted water. He was thirsty. I think we've all been to the point in our lives where our throats were dry, our mouths were dry, and we were beginning to be parched. We needed something to drink. That's where Christ was getting it. He needed something to drink. He was 100% man. He had the basic needs of water and nourishment, as we all do. In Isaiah 14, we won't turn there, but we see the prophecies leading up to Jesus, and we see a very specific prophecy about His birth. He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Speaking of a woman, speaking of Mary, and of course Christ was conceived and born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. But he's going to be born of a woman. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. His son, made of a woman. Christ was a man. And of course, we get this on an intellectual level, but he was a man. He was in the flesh, and that's very, very important to everything that we believe. We think of so many other false gods and false religions, and they speak of their gods, you know, and they're so out of touch, if you will. They don't struggle the same way we do, but our Lord, he was a man. He suffered the things we suffered. He struggled with the things we struggle with. He needed the basic needs of water, nourishment, and to rest. And I think that makes him all the more relatable for us. Because we know that he was a man. He was in the flesh. He walked this earth as we have walked. You know, being a man, Jesus was able to experience everything that we had today. John 1:4 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was made flesh. The very Word of God, very God himself, made himself flesh for us. That we may be able to relate, that he may be able to understand those things. Matthew 26, we see Christ in the garden, preparing for his journey to Calvary. His whole life's work here on earth was coming to an end. He was going to Calvary. He took a moment in the garden to pray. We see Christ sorrowful. He begins to weep. We see expressions of sad and grieving upon the Lord. Not that he had to go to the cross. That wasn't why he was sad. But we see these emotions of Christ. How many times are we sorrowful in our lives? We get sad. We grieve. All the loved ones that you have lost over the past couple weeks. I'm sure there was grieving going on. And there's still grieving going on. And to a certain extent, that grieving is never going to go away. But Christ can relate. Christ lost loved ones. He was grieved when Lazarus died. He lost one of his friends. He experienced these things. In Luke chapter 2, we see Christ as a child. We see some of the things he got into that he grew. He grew up. He became a man. You know, he left his parents when they were traveling so he can go teach at the temple. And I know it's hard for us to compare our childhood to Christ's childhood because he was perfect, we are not. But how many times have we left our parents? You know, our parents are at the store and we wander off. I can only imagine Mary and Joseph, how worried they were when they realized Christ wasn't with them. You know, my parents, they just lost me. Who cares? They have five more. You know, they don't, whatever, I'm just a boy. But they lost the very Son of God. We see Christ as a child. He was in the flesh. He experienced those things. We don't know much about his childhood. But I guarantee Christ had a little fun. He did something. He played. He had friends, I'm sure. He did things. He had siblings. How would you like to be Christ's siblings? We're always compared to our brothers and sisters. How would you like to be compared to Christ all your life? You know, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he had to go through life saying, you know, why couldn't you be more like Christ? Why couldn't you be more like Jesus? And James probably had no answer, but Christ was a child. He was flesh. He grew up. We think about the pains of age, and there's an old phrase, like going around that getting old isn't for sissies. And that's true. Getting old is tough. You see that in people's lives. As they get older, our bodies break down. You know, and Christ was crucified at, you know, the peak of our existence in his 30s. We think we're in the best shape we are, but Christ's body changed. He went from being a baby to a child to a teenager to a man. He grew like we grew. In Luke chapter 4, when Christ was being led to the wilderness, when he was there and he fasted, he was fasting, he was without food for 40 days. In verse 2 of chapter 4, it says that he hungered. Again, speaking of his flesh, he was hungry. If you don't eat for 40 days, I guarantee you're going to be hungry just as Christ was. It says that he was tempted of the devil. Now again, I don't understand this. Now how can the Lord God be tempted, but the Bible says he was? We're tempted each and every day. We're tempted to do evil. We're tempted to do things we shouldn't do, just as Christ was. Luke chapter 8, we see Christ during a storm. And what was Christ doing? He was sleeping. He was wearied from his journey. He was sleeping on that boat. You know, how often do we sleep? We need rest. Luke 24, let's just turn there for a minute. Keep your fingers here. But Luke 24, Luke 24 and verse number 36. It says, as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and were supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet believed, not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. We notice that with Christ revealing himself as a man, you cannot pierce God. You cannot pierce God's side. You cannot drive nails through the hands of God. It's not possible. But Christ had the nail prints in his hands. He had the piercing of his side. There were holes in him. He says, look at me. Touch my sides. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. He had those wounds because he was a man. Not because he was just God, but because he was a man, he could suffer those things. He had a body and he had flesh. He says, I need something to eat. Do you have any meat? And he took the fish and he ate it to prove to them that it is him in the flesh, that it was God. That God was a man, or Christ was a man. We think about his pain on Calvary, the suffering he took, all because he was a man. God cannot suffer pain. He cannot suffer those things. But it said Christ cried out in anguish. He was being beaten. He was being physically assaulted. Because he was a man, he could suffer those things. Now, of course, because he was God, he could also suffer more than any other man could ever suffer. So think about that. Think about the times that we suffered, and we suffered so much we don't think we can bear it. You hear people of passing out because of pain. People dying because of infliction of pain. But Christ had no limitations to the amount he could suffer. He would suffer time and time again because he was flesh, but yet he was God. You know, being a man, going through life as we do, again, it gives us the ability to relate to him. When we're calling on Christ, we're talking to a Savior. We're talking to somebody that knows our needs. Someone that knows the pain and sufferings we go through and so many more. And he reveals to himself to this woman, he says, I am a man. I am in the flesh. I am wearied. I'm tired. I'm sitting at this well. I need you to draw me some water because I am fainting. I'm tired. And then we see Jesus revealing himself as the provider to this woman. Go back to our text in John chapter 4, and we're going to try to hurry this up a little bit. But in John chapter 4 and verse number 10, he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He's saying, if you know who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. And of course, she says, you have nothing to draw with. How would I ask you for a drink? But he reveals to himself as the one who provides that living water. Much more valuable than the water coming from that well. In verse 14, describes it as water springing up into everlasting life. That's the water Christ gives us. That living water springing up to everlasting life. Our water here on this earth can sustain our life for a time. But it is appointed a man once to die. Water cannot save our life. It may save it in the temporal. But it will not save us for all eternity. But God's water, Christ, can do that. Revelation 7, we don't have time to turn there, but it talks about Jesus leading his sheep along the still waters, along the living waters, leading his sheep to those that they may drink of the well eternal. John 7:37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, if you're here today and you're lost, you're in need of water. Not the water of the earthly, but the waters of Christ, the living water. This is if any man thirst. That excludes no one. If any man comes to him, he says, I will save them. I will give them to drink. They can drink freely the waters of everlasting life. He provides comfort, as we sang. I love that song, the Comforter has come. But he provides comfort to his people. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter, which we sang about, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when Christ on this earth, he was the comfort for the apostles. When the apostles were journeying with Christ, Christ was their source of food. Christ was their source of income. Christ was the source of everything. Their safety, their protection. But Christ says, I need to go, but don't worry, I'm sending you the Comforter. The Comforter is going to come. He's going to send the Spirit. He's going to walk with you. He's going to be with you. He provides us comfort. He provides us peace. Mark 4:39 says, during the storm he arose and said, peace be still. Peace be still. And of course, the winds and the seas calmed. Because he provides the peace that no one else can. He provides that peace that passes all understanding. He provides us with protection. You know, in the fiery furnace, the king looked down and saw four men walking around. They only bound three. They only cast in three. And he said the fourth was like the Son of God. He was there protecting those men in the fire. And today, no matter what we're going through, we see the fires of this world, the trials that we're in. He's protecting us. He's walked through the fire once before. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was criticized. His message was not liked. You know, we go through and, you know, woe is us. Woe as Christians. We're going through. We're mistreated of the world. We'll never be as mistreated as Christ was. It's not possible. He's already been there because he's 100% man. But he provides us with protection. He provided us with a new dwelling, or will provide us with a new dwelling. Since he's going to prepare a place in his Father's house, that where he is, we may be also. He's going to provide that place. We're told this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through it. And of course, he provides us with eternal life. John 14:6, as Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He provides us with eternal life. That was the whole message for this woman. He's like, I am your provider. This water in this well, you're going to give me a drink of temporal water. But I'm going to give you water eternal. I'm going to give you eternal life. You will never thirst again. You will never be wearied again once you have this eternal life. He provided the payment for our sin debt. You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, the wages of sin is death. But he paid that payment. He paid it because he died on the cross. If you're here today and you're saved, be thankful he paid that payment. If you're here today and you're lost, one day it's going to come to that conclusion. That sin needs to be paid for. You can either choose and have faith in Christ that he paid it for you, or you can choose to pay it yourself. And I hope you don't choose that path. But like this woman began to know Christ as her provider, we can know that. We can know that Christ will provide us. Christ said that he will provide us all our needs, but the caveat is, it's the needs of his people. He's going to provide for us. And in verse number 16, we see Christ revealing himself to this woman as the one who knows all. The one who knows everything. Again, we won't read the conversation. I encourage you to read it if you're not familiar. Or even read it again. But she begins to reveal things to this woman. And he begins to reveal, like, do you live with your husband? And she says, no, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, because you've had, I can't remember how many husbands it was, but you had multiple husbands. Five. Yes, she had five husbands. How would this stranger know this woman's life? How does he know her business? And he goes on to say other things that she has done. Other deeds that she has done. And we see that she's so caught up on where to worship. She's saying, well, you Jews think Jerusalem's the way to the mountain to worship. And we think the place to worship is over here. And And of course, Christ straightens all that out, says that's not the case at all. But he reveals to her the one that knew all. I really like verse 29. After she's revealed the Savior and she knows who Christ is, she makes the proclamation going into the city. And she saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Come see a man. That should be our calling when we're out witnessing. Come see a man. You know, come visit us with Home Baptist Church, because that Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesdays when we're gathered together, you can come meet Jesus. So when two or three are gathered, I am here in the midst of them. You can say, "Come see this man Jesus," and not be a liar. So come to this place. Jesus is going to meet with us. He said, "This man told me all things. He told me everything that I've ever done. He knew things that even you don't know. My friends and families don't know. But this stranger, sitting on the well, knew everything." He said, "Is not this the Christ?" It has to be Christ. It has to be God. Because he knew everything. You know, Christ is omniscient. He knows all. We think about Christ knowing everything about us and how comforting that is, but how scary it is. He knows our innermost darkest secrets. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows the things that we won't admit to anybody else, but Christ knows. He knows how sinful and how wicked our hearts are. But yet he gave his life for us anyway. He knows all. Verse 25 says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." So they knew this going in. They didn't recognize Jesus as Christ, but they knew that this Christ was coming. And when this Christ was going to come, he was going to tell us all things. Not just the temporal things, he knows those things, but he's going to reveal all things about the Father, about salvation, about those things. And so when, of course, when Christ was revealing himself, revealing those things to the woman knew that the Christ was going to do this. And as he was doing it, she said, "Wow, this is the Christ. He knows all things." Verse 25 and 26, well, we just read 25, but 26 says, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." We see Jesus revealing himself as the true Messiah, as the Savior, as the Christ, as the true Son of God. "I that speak unto thee am he." The Jews have been looking for him. The Jews are still looking for him. They missed him. He has already come. You know, many people, I mean, the Jews in this time, they saw Christ. But they missed him. They didn't really see him. They knew who he was, but they didn't really know him. They knew who he was as a man, but they didn't know him as Christ, the true Son of God. I hope today that when you read the Scriptures and you hear the Scriptures proclaimed, if you're lost, you don't just brush him off as another man. That you see him as the Messiah, as the true living Christ. This woman had the great privilege to meet this man Jesus, but an even greater privilege to know who he really was. To really understand that he is God and that her need for a Savior. You know, we as God's people, we're truly blessed. That God chose himself to reveal us to reveal him to us. And that should encourage us to be like this woman who goes out and says, "Come see a man." She desired others to come and meet this Savior. That should be our motivation. We spoke a little bit about motivation this morning. Our motivation shouldn't be, "Look at me." It should all be, "Look at Christ. Look at this Savior who told me all things." John 1:40 says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. The first thing Andrew did, and you think about Peter, the great apostle Peter was, and kind of became what is thought to be the leader of that group. Peter came to Christ because his brother said, "Look, I found the Messiah. The Messiah came to me. He revealed himself to me. You need to come see this man." All because Andrew witnessed to his brother. And of course, Peter did and went on to do so many great things. What a joy it is when Christ reveals himself to us. And we should be shouting it from the mountaintops. You know, we sing that song as a kid, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." That should be us. Shouting, proclaiming the words of Christ. Because as you read through John chapter 4, you read through the situation with this woman, this conversation Christ had. She didn't know who this man was. That's where we were. I was saved at a young age, and I'm glad that I was. I thank the Lord that I was saved when I was 7 years old. We see so many that were saved later in life, and it's good to be saved at any time, but the things that people have to go through, their journey was a lot harder than mine was. Their lives were a lot harder than mine. But for those first 7 years of my life, I didn't know who Christ was. I was born on a Sunday. I was in church that Wednesday. And from that point on, I was in church for 7 straight years, 3 times a week or more. But I didn't know who Christ was. This woman didn't know, but Christ revealed himself. What a blessing it is when that finally happens. We should want to get to know him more. You know, too often we think, well, we're saved, so that's all that matters. It's not all that matters. We're saved. That's the big thing. But Christ told us to go and preach and teach, make disciples, and to study the Word of God. The more we study him, the more we look at his life, the more we study his Word, the more we talk to him, the more he's going to reveal himself in more ways than just as our Savior. He revealed to us that he can provide. He can comfort us. That he is in control. That he's more than just God. He's more than just a man. He's all those things. And he can be everything we need if we just let him, if we just learn about who he is. It's a process. There's a reason that the moment we're saved, Christ just doesn't give us all knowledge. He could. He could implant in our brains everything we need to know. That's not how it works. We get it a little bit at a time. This woman, it took her a minute. I don't know how long this conversation was and what went through, but he revealed himself little by little. And that woman began to know so much more. We should want to know who he is. We should want to study the Word of God and get to know Christ, to love him more. If you're here today and you're lost, I pray that Christ reveals himself to you. And I pray that you open up your hearts. You let him. You don't just look at it as words on a page. But you see this man Jesus who knows all things. He knows what sinners we are. One of the things I like, and we'll say this and we'll close, but one thing I really like about God's people, and we talk to older people, older Christians, most of them, if not all of them, they don't shy away from the fact that they have failed, that they have faltered, that they were wicked and lost sinners. And they do that not to boast, not to brag about how wicked they were, but to boast that God saved them anyway. No matter how wicked we think we are, Christ can save you. Doesn't matter what you've done, who you are. As Christ reveals himself to you, I just pray that you just open your hearts. You begin to realize this man, Jesus, who's 100% man, but 100% God, the true Messiah, the true Christ. Let's pray, and then, brother, you'll come and lead us in a song. You know, Father, Lord, we thank you once again for the day. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here to worship you, Lord. We thank most of all for you sending your Son to die on that cross. We thank you for sending him in the flesh, being a man that we can relate to, that we know that he suffered many things, that he knows what we're going through in the flesh, Lord. And I pray, just help us to live lives that are pleasing unto you, Lord. And I thank you for revealing yourself to me and to those that you have saved in this congregation and all throughout this world, Lord, throughout all time. We just pray that there are some that are lost. We pray, just reveal yourself to them, Lord. Help us to be the avenue by which you use, Lord. Help us to witness and to teach them the Word of God and show them these things. And I pray that you just continue to reveal yourself to us more and more. That you give us a hungering and a thirsting, not just to be content with the knowledge that we have, but to want to know you more. We pray just bless us with that. We just ask you to be with those that are sick and hurting, those that are struggling, those that are away from this number today. Just pray this one. Again, we pray, just hold this church. Just help them to keep you as the center of it, that you hold it all together, Lord, and that you just bless them and encourage them and provide for them all things, Lord. We ask once again, just go with this afternoon, help us reflect upon your word, and bring us back tonight ready to glean more from your word. In Jesus' name, amen.